be Davis versus Zach on Reputation.
Yeah, that's
is it terrible.
Is this gonna work if I just terrible excuse for an album?
Yeah, it should work.
All right, cool. Okay, so wait, what are we gonna do?
Focal point.
Surprising albums of the year, maybe.
Yeah,
just kind of like
we'll just talk about albums in general.
Okay, we'll do like shocking albums.
All right, or yeah. We'll just talk about music in general. And
okay,
today
2017.
All right, cool.
So music wrap up.
Zach, you want to? Yeah. Zach, you want to start this one off?
Okay, so hey, I'm Zach. This is Focal Point Podcast. I'm calling in right now.
And I'm Kobe Risman.
I'm Davis Bailey.
So we're calling in Zach today because Zach's obviously our other managing editor, and unfortunately he couldn't be here today, but we wanted to talk a little bit about music, and who better to talk to than Zach Ilstrap?
Thank you.
All right, so I kind of want to open this up by asking Davis, what are your thoughts on Taylor Swift's Reputation?
For those of you online who don't know my views on Taylor Swift. I've been a diehard Swiftie since day one. Her debut album, Our Song, is a phenomenal song. Fearless is great. Red, 1989, like Speak Now. It's all great music, phenomenal music.
Davis has a shirt that says "This guy loves Taylor Swift," and it's two thumbs and it's pointing to himself.
I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan. So when I heard the hype around Reputation, I honestly got excited. I got really excited, yeah. And all my Swift fan blogs and everything I was following, all the news was pointing to, yeah, this is gonna be a great album. And then when it came out, it was just. It's like you. The best way I've been able to explain it to people is like if you're a parent and you have a child, you're gonna love that child no matter what. I mean, I've always imagined it must be tough as like the parent of a child who's committed some horrible crime, but I feel like in listening to Reputation come out, it's like this is something that I've grown up with, I've brought up, and I've really changed through this music. And then she produces something like Reputation, and it's like, how do I have it in me to still love Taylor Swift at this point? It's tough. So I still crank up the love story, the You Belong With Me, but I just can't dip into Reputation. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I always kind of like to bag on Taylor Swift because, you know, it's like the whole Kanye versus Taylor thing.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge Kanye fan, but I mean, I never thought she was too bad, but honestly, I guess kind of converse to Davis, I thought Reputation was a really kind of interesting turn because, I mean, yes, it's not at the same caliber in terms of songwriting and kind of whole feel as her whole music was, because I guess her old music was a lot more authentic, but I would say that, like, the stuff she kind of did on Reputation and kind of the things she experimented with, I thought was really kind of refreshing. And kind of enjoyable at points, too. So it's kind of
the thing for me was she completely abandoned her bread and butter, which was lyrical storytelling through song lyrics. And
true.
It just completely was something that Taylor Swift is not known for. Taylor Swift is not very good at. And it kind of, I feel like it was kind of a betrayal of the people who have been with her since day one.
If Jenny Dial Creech, who is a friend of ours, who's helped us on the paper a little bit with, in terms of design, but if she was listening to this, she would be very angry at Davis right now. She's not a Taylor Swift fan at all.
Whatsoever.
She's a sports editor for the Houston Chronicle, and we've gone back and forth on our opinion on Taylor Swift a lot. And it's just, it was a real... Well, real heartbreaker to hear Reputation when it came out. I stayed up till midnight to hear all the singles drop ahead of time, and it was just tough.
Yeah. Okay, so Zach, this one's for you, but favorite or just most interesting or most relevant album of 2017?
Okay. So my favorite, and I guess probably most relevant, would be 444 by Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Because for one, see, I'm a diehard Kendrick Lamar fan as well. And I would have said Damn But honestly, it was pretty underwhelming, but I think that's a whole other topic.
Yeah,
it is. So 444 by Jay-Z I thought was fantastic. One, because the promotion strategy was brilliant.
Yeah.
Because basically how it started was he...
Oh, I'm it's all coming back to me, right? Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't really say anything about it, but all over New York and really kind of iconic parts of the city, the advertisement for 444 started popping up. It's kind of that weird orange-colored, like, yeah, 444 sign that was on billboards and in the subway and on telephone poles, like, everything. It was just all over the place, and no one knew what it was. And then once Jay-Z started to kind of release some videos on Twitter, things started kind of come together, and people started to realize, man, this is an album from arguably one of, if not the greatest rappers of all time.
Well, and his last album was 2013, so it was a long time coming.
It's been a long while.
Even for someone who knows nothing about rap culture or rap at all, when we were in New York and seeing the taxi cabs with the signs on them and Times Square getting taken over at one point, it was
ominous and very eye-catching.
Yes, it's hard to ignore.
Yeah, and the music itself was hard to ignore too. Because if you listen to it, it's really interesting because, you know, the kind of wave that rappers are on nowadays is kind of what people like to dub mumble rap. So the trap music, really repetitive things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you listen to 444, all the production was done by New ID, classic producer from Chicago, worked with Kanye. And it's all really classic, chopped up, 90s, early 2000s, soul beats. And it's all amazing.
Yeah,
it all works. And it fits with the times, and it sounds timeless. And then, past the production, which is great, you have the subject matter, which is, I mean, basically 100% inspired by his whole, I guess, debacle with Beyonce about 2 years ago, how he cheated on her. He admitted it in the album, and he kind of bared his soul on a whole bunch of the tracks, talking about how he wouldn't want to say this to his daughter, and he has to apologize to her and the family, and how he's learned from the experience. And it's just, it's really heartwarming and just cool, I guess, to see someone who's in such a high spot in, the pantheon of hip-hop
groups
just bare his soul and bring himself down to the bottom with the rest of us and just speak from his heart. That's kind of what made the album so great for me.
Yeah, for sure. And especially because, you know, after Lemonade, everyone was waiting for what what's the response here. And you know, 444, just, it felt like okay, it didn't feel. I'm really glad that we waited on a response, and because 444 is such a great testimony to his response to everything, and it's polished and it's reflective, and it's really good.
Exactly, and it puts so many things in perspective, because I think an interview came out recently where he talked about just kind of very candidly what the album is about, and he said that him and Beyonce made their album separately, but at the exact same time.
Yeah.
They were making them together, and they used it as a healing mechanism.
Yeah.
You know, to heal their marriage. And that just makes it a lot more, I guess, meaningful and relevant. Because beyond all of his past songs about drug dealing and the New York life, this is about love and family, and it's just a really cool turn.
Yeah. Yeah. America's couple right there.
Exactly.
All right, so we'll do a couple quick takes here, but just big moments for music this year, or underrated moments or anything like that. Davis, do you have any standout ones that maybe not Taylor Swift, but any other big moments?
Not right now. All right.
All right. One moment that I would say is Tyler, the Creator's Flower
time.
Boy.
Big time.
Yeah. That was one of my favorite albums of the year. Just in terms of sonically what he does, he's just really creative in how he puts songs together. And on top of that, you know, he gets a lot of controversy just in terms of some of the things that he says on the track. But I think with this one, it was the way that Zach and I have talked about it is he really is getting to melodic songs, and especially after Cherry Bomb, that album was very loud and in your face, and it was intentionally that way, but this album was much more laid back and much more, I don't know, kind of looking over it at what he's already done and polishing it, so.
Right, and I mean, I guess the biggest thing is how melodic it is, because, I mean, he's literally acting like a composer, because I think he kind of did this some on Cherry Bomb too, but I mean, looking at the behind the scenes work and him performing live, like,
oh, yeah.
He's writing down the sheet music, he's composing the parts for the different instruments, and he's like really kind of turning into this weird hybrid between a composer and a producer.
Yeah.
And I really like it.
So one of my favorite music moments of 2017 was more of a localized music moment that I thought was great was during the kind of the homecoming hype this year.
Yeah.
My favorite musical moment at St. Mark's was when in Abdullah Akbar's homecoming video, he climbed on top of the chapel and played his flute to Mask Off.
Yeah.
And synced it up perfectly. It was such a jarring kind of
yeah.
juxtaposition between Abdullah and Mask Off being on top of the chapel.
Yeah.
It kind of shows you the power that some of these songs have.
Well, Abdullah Akbar he's a rapper in another life. So both him and his brother, we've been in English class before and we were doing poetry or something, and Abdullah's like, no.
Bust out some rhymes.
I'm going to do some rhymes, yeah.
I guess my moment would have to be, I guess, besides 444, I'd say something that was really interesting was how Cardi B became a thing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, she was a reality TV star.
Yeah.
And that really wasn't something that was very plausible.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up having basically the song of the summer. It was
yeah.
number one for a really long time.
I don't
know why she's going to stop. And it's just kind of a weird anomaly if you examine it that way.
Yeah. Two things on Cardi B. One, I will never understand the Bodak Yellow hype. I'll never understand it. And then two, her interview with Jimmy Fallon. Zach, have you seen it? I don't think she speaks English. She speaks her own language. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just really odd.
Yeah, definitely on another level.
Soon.
Yeah. All right, well, this has been our music moments of the year. And a little bit on Jay-Z, Taylor Swift, and Cardi B, Bodak Yellow. I'm Kobe Roseman.
I'm Davis Bailey.
Zach Gilstrap.
And this has been Focal Point Podcast. Focal.